Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
I first heard about IT, Newborn Genetic Data Collection, in relation to Common Core. You say, whoa, how can that be? Think data mining, et cetera, and how data mining can also include, at least in one state, it's the law, is my understanding, that the collection of newborn genetic data. It's troubling that that is the situation, but we have Twyla Braze, who is a nurse, who is an RN, here to talk to us about the whole concept of newborn genetic data collection and the lack of parental consent through this process. Twyla is the president of the Citizens Council for Health Freedom and is a certified public health nurse. She provides commentary for the one-of-a-kind Health Freedom Minute, provides testimony at the state legislature, meets with members of Congress, and speaks around the country. She has been interviewed on CNN, Fox News, NBC Today Show, among others, and her quotes appear in publications of the Associated Press, Wall Street Journal, and the Washington Post, and many others. So thanks, Twyla, for being with us.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
And thanks for exposing this because, you know, I first read that, I think it was an alert or a news release, can't remember which now, that Karen Ephraim sent out about the Rhode Island situation. But we'll get to the Rhode Island situation a little bit later in the program. Let's first start with, what is the Citizens Council for Health Freedom?
We are a nonprofit health freedom policy organization located in Minnesota, but we do work on a national basis, for instance, this baby DNA issue. And our goal or our mission is to protect healthcare choices and individual privacy, patient privacy. And so we have been, this is our 20th year of working to try and protect health freedom for every American.
And with you being in the health field, I'm sure you see a lot of issues when it comes to healthcare choices and even the lack of parental consent in some of these tests, especially when we're talking about this baby DNA, as you said. And I know that's caused you concern since you're part of the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. And most Americans do not understand how many times they lose their freedoms when it comes to healthcare in general. What are some other examples of are there other examples, or am I just imagining this when I think of the healthcare system as far as loss of freedom?
No, there are a lot of things that people aren't aware of. For instance, a lot of people think that HIPAA protects their privacy, but HIPAA was actually part of Hillary Care, and it was passed several years after Hillary Care went down into defeat. But like other portions of Hillary Care, it became law. So it became law in 1996. And it gives all these folks access to your medical records without your consent. So this is, and by virtue of the fact that it does this, a lot of people have lost their freedoms and rights and confidentiality within the healthcare system because of HIPAA. So I know that some of your listeners may think, because most do, that HIPAA protects their privacy, but all it takes for your listeners to realize how that's not true is that the next time they go to the doctor or to the clinic or to the hospital, they just need to ask to actually read the Notice of Privacy Practices. So when they're asked to sign that HIPAA form, it usually says, I have received the Notice of Privacy Practices. And most people never actually ask for that form, and they're not given it, and so they've never read it.
So just sign on the dotted line.
Right. Wow. So we encourage people not to sign on that dotted line, and by law you don't have to sign on that, although signing it or not signing it does not give you any more protection from HIPAA. And so look at the Notice of Privacy Practices, and what you'll see is it's a Notice of Disclosure Practices. It tells you all the places that your data will or could go, that they are allowed to share it without your consent. And because we look at data as he who holds the data makes the rules, then you understand that all of these folks having access to your data means that they can use your data to ration your healthcare choices, they can use your data to penalize your doctor, they can use your data to track your doctor's compliance with how the government wants medicine to run, And so the HIPAA in combination with Obamacare in combination with the High Tech Act's requirement that all data be digitized, computerized, and put in an electronic medical record means that patients are losing lots of their rights in the healthcare arena.
So this was a problem even prior to Obamacare. You know, I just thought that Obamacare was a major component when it came to loss of privacy, but it goes back even further. That's troubling that, you know, all this stuff is happening under the radar screen, and we don't realize it. Wow.
Well, and the problem with, as I said, HIPAA was actually part of Hillary Care,
yeah.
And it was foundational. And high tech was part of the economic stimulus bill in 2009. And that was considered foundational to Obamacare for the Obama administration because they realized unless they forced all doctors and hospitals to put all our medical data in an electronic format, they wouldn't be able to access it to control the doctor's decisions.
Oh, my goodness.
So all of this, you know, it's like Obamacare, the foundation of Obamacare is HIPAA and high tech. And this is where the control comes to actually implement Obamacare and to ration the health care like the government and others would like it rationed.
Well, and I see that coming down the road. That will happen just because of they'll tie it all to cost, of course, and the rationing will come. So let's kind of switch gears and just zero in on the newborn screening. What is that? What is newborn genetic data collection?
Okay, so newborn screening, a lot of people know newborn screening as the PKU test, and it used to be in the 1960s and 70s and 80s that all they did was the PKU test for this one newborn condition that could cause mental retardation. But over the years, they started adding a few other conditions that they would test the baby's blood for at birth within 24 to 48 hours. Well, in the late 1990s, health departments decided that this spot of blood was actually a rich genetic source of data, that it contained the child's DNA and that they should keep it. Now, a lot of people don't understand that newborn screening is actually government genetic testing. Mm. So, as I said, it started with PKU, eventually it added sickle cell and some other conditions, and now most states are testing newborns at birth for somewhere between 29 and 60 conditions.
Between 29 and 60 conditions?
That's right. And some states actually add supplemental testing, which will increase it up to 70 to 80 conditions. Most parents don't even know that it's done. They don't know that it's the government that's doing it. It's not the hospital laboratory. The hospital comes in, takes the blood, and sends it to the government for the testing to be done.
So
that
the
means
hospital,
that the government has the genetic test results, and they have the child's DNA.
So the hospital draws the blood, then ships it off to a government facility to actually run the test there. The government actually runs the test.
Right, and just to be clear, so your listeners know, it's not a typical draw the blood. It's a prick the heel and drip the blood onto a special card with special filter paper that has the mother's name and the child's name and information about the birth.
Wow.
And that's the card that is sent off to the government.
To run
and that's the card on which the baby's DNA exists, and that's the card that increasingly states are keeping without the consent of parents and using for research without the consent of parents.
Yeah, I can remember when our kids were born, the PKU test, I can remember that. But you're saying that has been expanded. It used to be just that, then expanded to where now it's between 29 and 60 conditions that they test.
Right.
But the hospital's not the one doing this. This is a government mandate that they obtain the blood from the newborn, and then that blood is sent to the government facility to have the test run.
Right.
And they keep that.
Right. And, you know, parents just think it's just a test.
Yeah.
They think it's just the hospital, and they think it's just for the baby, and there's no reason to worry, but there are reasons to worry.
Oh, yeah. Is it the state government or federal government?
It's the state government, but okay. The federal government significantly funds the program.
Okay.
So, for instance, in Congress now, there is a bill called the Newborn Screening Saves Lives Reauthorization Act.
Oh, that sounds nice.
It provides $99.5 million to states. But that bill also increases surveillance, increases research, increases the likelihood that more states beyond the 14 that currently keep it 20 years to forever today, that more states will start to keep the child's DNA and use it without the parents' consent.
And use it.
And use it, right. because they're not only storing it, they're providing it to researchers, they're analyzing it, they're doing their own research on it, and it essentially becomes state government property once it has entered the government's hands.
It becomes
state government property. And so they think that they have a right to do what they wish with it, although not every state thinks they have a right. They're not sure what their rights are, and so they've just held it.
Uh-huh.
So, for instance, in Indiana, because of our efforts, a reporter went to see what Indiana was doing.
Mm-hmm.
An Indiana TV station exposed the fact that Indiana had been keeping the DNA for 23 years mm-hmm. without the consent, but they had never shared it. They had 666 boxes, banker boxes, filled with the DNA of newborn citizens, or collected from newborn citizens over the past 23 years. Well, when the television story was about to come out, they decided that they would add consent. They decided to add consent, but only going forward.
Forward, not back. Why, they couldn't, because...
But they're making those 23 years of newborn DNA available to researchers without parent consent.
Kidding.
They're saying parents and
You said Indiana.
Indiana.
We had two of our kids who were born in Indiana. Okay, but they're older than 23. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, we're not even sure that it's just 23 years. They may have discarded it and decided only to keep 23 years. So they could have been collecting it for longer than 23 years and have only kept the last 23 years. But that we're not sure about.
But
what we do know is they have 23 years worth, and they're making it available to researchers. Now, they're going to let parents send them a letter saying discard it, but that's only going to be the parents who know, who take the time, who figure out there's a form, who figure out they can do something.
And the adults
who were newborns, but now they're 23 years old or they're 18 years old or whatever, they can also request for it to be destroyed. But essentially, the government has, by virtue of an opt-out, they have claimed that the DNA is theirs. It'd be sort of like, could the government take your bike? And then only if you came and said, you can't have my bike.
Then they wouldn't take it.
Did they have to give it up? That's kind of what we're talking about here.
Oh,
they've made a claim.
And, you know, parents of newborns, especially for their first child, trust the doctors, trust the hospitals to do what's best for their newborn child.
Right.
So when a nurse or doctor comes in and says, we need, you know, we're going to draw blood or, you know, do this heel prick to obtain some blood for testing of your child, you think nothing of it because
right.
you trust the hospital, not realizing where we are in today's world. This is really scary.
Well, I think that the hospital will become a scarier place for patients, and that is a very unfortunate thing, not only because of this, but the other data collection that is happening, like through the birth certificate and the fact that the rationing will happen through government-issued treatment protocols. There are all sorts of reasons now where people going into the hospital need to be on the alert because, unlike before, there are people, the government has reached into the hospital to both collect data and to control the doctors and to limit access to care.
And this is even before Obamacare.
And this is even before Obamacare. But Obamacare has just escalated everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Obamacare and, as I said, the High-Tech Act have mandated now that all of this data be electronic and available to the government. And that has allowed the government's hands to come in.
Yeah, much more easily. We remember Hillary Care and how that was defeated, and thinking that we were free from government interference when it came to health care. But yet, as you're saying, HIPAA, the current HIPAA law, is part of Hillary Care.
Right.
But we didn't realize that.
No.
And it wasn't until Obamacare and this dramatic overreach, or what we viewed as a dramatic overreach of the federal government to interfere with their health care, that this again came up on the radar screen, basically. But this has really been going on for a long while.
It's really been going on ever since Medicare. The government has tried to figure out, because Medicare was essentially a run on the U.S. Treasury, because suddenly 19 people who hadn't paid a dime into the system had full access to care. And so increasingly since 1966, when Medicare was implemented, Congress has figured out different ways to not provide access to care, to try and control doctors, to try and decrease costs. and to establish HMOs across the country. That was in 1973, mm-hmm. all for the purpose of eventually putting the entire Medicare population under managed care where the rationing could happen at an arm's distance from mm-hmm. Congress.
Yeah.
But in order to ration care, you have to control the doctors. You have to track them. And so it's been a long process, but it all started with the implementation of government-run health care and government health care, which was Medicare and Medicaid.
Right.
And so by virtue of the fact that the Congress has created this entitlement system, they have come up with law after law after law to try and crimp mm-hmm. on people's access to health care and the dollars to get that health care.
Right.
And Obamacare is just the latest grand iteration of it, and really meant to put the managed care organizations in power, stripped out traditional health insurance. Traditional health insurance mm-hmm. is now prohibited. So this is all to put all of us into managed care so all the money can be centralized and pooled together, and that Medicare, the Medicare problem will no longer be a problem because we'll all be in managed care together, and they can redistribute all the funds within managed care. They can have treatment guidelines imposed by the government and health plans, and all of that is meant to ration care at a distance using the managed care organizations.
So the typical story, once the government gets involved, once there's the government money involved, the government can't control whatever. So with the implementation of Medicare and Medicaid, of course, there's the government dollars involved, so it's just been, you know, they've just been slowly working up to where we are now with Obamacare.
Right.
That's basically the story in a nutshell.
Right.
Beware the government's dollars.
Right.
Wow. So we have the newborn. Let's go back to the newborn genetic screening. We have these states. Are there any states that ask for parental consent, or is this just we're going to do this for the best, and it's in the best interest of your child?
As a result of our efforts, there have been two states with lawsuits, Texas and Minnesota.
Okay.
Minnesota used to ask for consent as a result of that lawsuit, but a DFL-controlled legislature last year stripped out consent and started recollecting DNA starting on August 1st. Oklahoma, on the other hand, because of the Texas lawsuit, they have a very strong law in place which says you can't store, collect, do research or anything without the parents' consent. So there are several states that allow parents to destroy the blood spots,
mm-hmm.
but several of them, like New York, for instance, allows the parents to have four of the blood spots, the DNA-filled blood spots, destroyed, but New York will keep one of them, which means, of course, that New York still
they have it all.
Controls and
yeah.
has the DNA of the child. So really, I think we were... up here in Minnesota, but Oklahoma now has probably the best law in the country.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say we only need to move to Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
And this is just another example. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Wow. So we have Oklahoma that has the best parental consent law when it comes to the genetic testing of newborns. And I know that it was H.R. 1281, I think it was the bill you just previously
right.
mentioned the name of, but it was passed on June 24th in the House by voice
right.
vote only. So we don't know how our congressman voted.
No.
And that is the reauthorization of this testing.
In the House.
In the House.
But that vote has been stalled by our efforts in
okay.
the U.S. Senate, where we are saying that before states get any part of the $99.5 million in funding for their newborn screening programs, they have to agree to consent requirements for any storage, use, or sharing of the child's DNA. And so far, there hasn't been a vote
okay.
because we're working to try and get that as a requirement added to the law.
Because get parental consent.
Right.
Okay. Unfortunately, when it comes to Pennsylvania, don't see Senator Casey opposing this bill. But maybe not. Maybe he will surprise us.
Well, in Pennsylvania, on it's hard to say what they do for their 8 months. Pennsylvania used to keep it for 5 years back in, I think, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
But then they cut it down to 3 months for a whole bunch of years, and now they've increased it up to 8 months of storing the child's DNA. But the likelihood is that they can't do a whole lot of research in those 8 months.
True.
But a good thing to realize is that I once had a newborn screening expert tell me that after 6 months of storage, the only thing that that blood spot card is good for is the DNA. They can't use it to reconduct newborn screening after 6 months. Any keeping it after 6 months is because they want to keep it for the DNA. So I'm not sure why Pennsylvania is keeping it for 8 months, but that is one of the shorter lengths of time for states that are keeping it.
Okay, you said storage past, you said
6 months.
6 months, 6 months.
Is only for the DNA, and the child cannot have the newborn screening reconducted on it after 6 months,
okay,
because the analytes and metabolites, they start to disintegrate,
mm-hmm,
and so it's no longer reliable to redo the newborn screening.
So the only purpose that a state would keep that
for the DNA.
Is for the DNA testing. Now, what can they do with that testing? I mean,
not for the DNA testing, but for use of the DNA.
Okay, right.
So they can pull out the DNA and look for biomarkers.
Mm-hmm.
They can do a full genomic sequence of everything that's in the child's DNA. They can do, any kind of genetic research. If they're looking for certain things, they can compare that child's DNA to a child, for instance, who has a certain condition.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll know a lot of things about these children,
right,
and they can use that information to conduct genetic research. They can share the DNA. So, for instance, there are four states sharing newborn DNA with researchers through what's called a virtual repository. Iowa, New York, California, and Michigan have all made their newborn blood spots available to researchers through this federal virtual repository.
I think science fiction movies when I think...
I'm sorry?
I think science fiction movies when I think DNA testing and I think Dr. Frankenstein, things like that.
Well,
is it mostly for trying to find cures for diseases? Is that the main focus of the... Or we don't really know.
Well, we don't really know, and that's the thing. Unless parents have already said, in a study that was done by a Michigan university, have already said, almost three-quarters of them, almost 75% of them, have said they don't want research conducted on their newborn child's DNA without their consent.
Right, because it is your newborn. It's your child's DNA, part of your child that's been used in this testing.
It's your child's DNA, and
yeah,
once your child's DNA has been opened and made available, the child can never get back their genetic privacy, which is one of the reasons why, we know that the federal government is looking already at doing genomic sequencing for newborn screening. Genomic sequencing is to detail the entire DNA of the child and put it in a record. It means all the potential weaknesses or conditions or sicknesses or genetic defects, all on someone's record. It means there's no genetic privacy for that child anymore, and they lost it when they were just a few days old. And sometimes people say, well, we should let the parents decide. Well, when it comes to genomic sequencing,
mm-hmm,
nobody should be sequenced without
right,
their own consent.
Oh, right, exactly. So
you just shouldn't sequence a child because they can never get that back. It will be part of a government record.
Mm-hmm.
It will be part of their permanent medical record. Now with electronic medical records, it could go anywhere. It could be used by 2.2 million entities under HIPAA and HITECH. That's who can have access to your medical records.
2.2 million?
Entities.
Entities can have access to your medical records.
And that's a federal number from a federal rule.
Oh,
so
goodness.
You should not sequence a child, sequence their DNA. They should be adults making that decision for themselves.
Absolutely. Wow. Okay, we're about out of time. How can people get involved? How can people contact you? What's your website, et cetera, et cetera?
Our website is cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. And at the top of that, our homepage, they can also sign up for our weekly Wednesday e-news, which provides them with more information on this issue, Obamacare, and other issues like medical ethics and rationing, et cetera. And if they especially want to know about the baby DNA issue, we have a special page called itsmydna.org.
Itsmydna.org. Itsmydna.org specifically.
And they can find out how long all 50 states are keeping their child's DNA.
Oh, okay, fantastic. Okay, itsmydna.org, specifically on the baby DNA issue.
Right.
And your overall website is cchfreedom.org.
Right.
Wow. Wow, I sure appreciate your insight, your expertise on this, and sure has opened my eyes. Not that I trusted the medical field prior to this interview, but now I definitely don't trust the medical field, nor the federal government's involvement in it. So, again, I appreciate your time, the time that you've taken to be with us, and for this great information that you've given us, Twyla.
Thanks so much, Diane.
Okay, you take care.
All right,
okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.